Hi, this is Chelsea Carnes with the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program. I'm here today interviewing
Carolyn Aivido
of the AAUW, and today is April 11th, 2016. Okay, to start with, Carolyn, would you just tell me a little bit about your upbringing, when you were born, and where, and what your childhood was like?
Oh, okay. Let's see, I was born November 22nd, 1942, which makes me 73. Mm-hmm. And I, it was World War II, and I was born in Connecticut, although everybody else in the family is a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. And we were there because my dad was working in an aircraft factory. And then when he joined the Army Air Force, we moved back to his hometown. And then I was moved around a bit because my mother kind of followed him during his years. So I did live in West Virginia and Texas for a while. And then my grandmother took over the caretaking for a while because my mother had another baby. And so I spent about 6 months to 10 months living with my grandmother. And after that, we finally settled down, and I grew up essentially in the Hudson Valley area of New York State, and did spend 5 years in western New York, south of Buffalo, and that was because of my father's job. And I stayed in the Hudson Valley until I was 20, then I got married, and again, we moved to Kentucky because my husband was a student at the University of Kentucky, and I went there also. And when he finished, we moved to back to New York State and lived in the Albany, New York area, where I did go back to school and finally finished. Mm-hmm. So, and we stayed in Albany for many years, and then moved to Western New York, to a suburb of Buffalo, and lived there for 21 years before retiring to Florida, to some nice warm weather. But may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. Do you want a little bit about what I did work-wise and that sort of thing? Okay.
Basically, don't spare any details, anything
okay.
You want to talk about.
That's fine. And I did leave out, we did live in the Binghamton, New York area when he first got out of school before moving to Albany. But after I finished school in Albany, I did substitute teaching for a while, and then I also did adult ed and a special summer program that our community had where I taught personal typing that in the summertime to everyone from 10 years old to 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And then the last year that we lived in that area, I did teach full-time in the Bethlehem School District. Mm-hmm. Then when we moved to Buffalo, I did stay home for 4 years. Both of my children at that time were in high school. And then I always wanted to be a librarian. And at that point, I got to know some of the people at the library, and they told me their senior library clerk was leaving, and would I be interested? And I said yes. And that was a little interesting deal because I couldn't take the test for the job until I had a certain amount of experience working in the library. And the only experience I had before that was as a high school volunteer and then as a working student at the University of Kentucky. So I worked part-time. I actually worked full-time, but was paid part-time for 6 months. And then I was qualified to take the exam and passed it, naturally. And ended up working as a senior library clerk for 15 years. But in the meantime, I always wanted to be a librarian officially. So I went back up to the University of Buffalo and earned a degree in library science. Hmm. And And but I never did get a chance to officially work as a librarian, but I still was given responsibilities that covered some more of a librarian type responsibilities, mm-hmm. along with my other work, which was fine with me because I loved it.
Why did you not finish your degree at the University of Kentucky?
Oh, because my husband finished before I did. And at that point, we needed to go, he needed to get a job and go. So for the first 2 years, oh, and also I was pregnant at the time that he finished.
Okay.
Yes, that probably was a big part of why. So anyway, that's when we moved to the Binghamton, New York area, and he worked at GE, and I did take one college course while I was there, but then I had another baby, and then when we moved to Albany, I did, at that point, decide to go back to school, whereas my daughter told me that she would absolutely never do that to her children, go to school while she had children. But she survived, and so did her brother.
Was that difficult to be a full-time parent and also going to school?
Yes, it was, you know, the hard part was I took a couple of summer courses, and those were those really, really concentrated 6 weeks mm-hmm. of school, and so my husband was very helpful. He would take the kids out on a picnic while I wrote my papers. The only trouble is I really would have liked to have gone on the picnics too.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hang in there and finish. And then after I finished, then I started looking around for a job, but decided while the kids were still like in the early grades of school to do substitute teaching because I was there at most mornings to see them off to school. And then I would head out for my job too on certain mornings. But it was a little easier just working part-time at that.
So it sounds like your husband was supportive of you finishing your degree?
Yes, he was very helpful.
And growing up, were your parents supportive of your education? Was that something that was emphasized in your family for you to get a college education?
Yes, I don't think they quite understood the difficulty of it, of what it took
mm-hmm.
to go to school, because I commuted the first couple of years. Actually, I went to school before Kentucky. I commuted for a couple of years, and that was quite difficult because I'm the oldest of six kids, and around a small house with six kids, it was hard to study. But yes, my dad in particular thought that having an education was very important.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped somewhat there. Although I think it was kind of difficult at times, because it is when you have eight people in a small house,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't always easy to really concentrate.
Did you feel like there was a pressure as far as to pursue a career that you needed to get a degree? Or were there a lot of people at that time who weren't getting degrees but still had pretty decent careers? Like now it seems like there's this focus on, oh, you need a college degree to have
mm-hmm.
a decent job. Did it feel that way back then? Or was it was there less emphasis on, no, you have to go to college if you want to have a career?
I think there was less emphasis, particularly for women. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember in high school, we had a guidance counselor, and essentially the three jobs pushed were teaching, nursing, and secretarial.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one young woman who did go to college to be a lawyer, and that was really an unusual situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the women I knew, or the girls I knew, were either headed for the teaching or nursing, or already had secretarial jobs, because in their senior year, those who took the business courses, many of them worked half a day and went to school half a day, so they were already in a job situation when they were seniors in high school. But I had an aunt who was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. And they received degrees in the days. Well, actually, my great aunt never had a degree. She finished high school and took occasional courses at a local college. But she taught for like 40 years. And my grandmother, who did go to college, she only taught 1 year because she was sort of a Victorian in her attitude on how a woman should act. Mm-hmm. And although she stayed home, she was known in the neighborhood as the person to go to if you needed tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. I think she probably drove my uncle, because I have an uncle who's only 3 years older than I am, and my cousin who lived on the same street, crazy because she made them sit there and do their homework, practice the piano, and any kind of, if they had signed up for lessons, you know, she made sure they were doing their work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had that in my background, that there were people in the family who had been to college. And even my father later went to the community college to help with his job. He would take a few courses.
How much did college cost at that time? Because I know a big part of the AAUW is fundraising so that women,
yes,
can afford to go to college and to do research. And I know that prices have gone up dramatically.
Yes, very dramatically.
Was college very unaffordable for most people at that time, or what was it like cost-wise?
For me, it was very easy, but for those who wanted to live away at school, it was, well, in comparison with today's prices, it doesn't sound too bad. But when I went to school, I went to a state teacher, what was called a state teacher's college, and there was absolutely no tuition. You paid something like $100 a semester for fees and other little things. And I actually got a little, I think it was $100 a semester scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated from high school. And that scholarship actually covered my fees for each semester. And then I just had to pay for my books. And it might have even helped there too. But I had to pay for my books and also for the bus. In those days, even though I lived out in a small rural town, there was a lot of bus transportation available.
Mm.
So it was quite easy to get back and forth to school. And then after I was married and went to school, I did take a student loan of something like $600,
mm-hmm,
to help pay for both my husband and I, because it costs more at the University of Kentucky because we were not residents of the state, so
right,
we did have to pay more. But still, it was, I was able to get a small loan that covered that type of cost, and then I have to say that my mother-in-law helped there too. She helped pay her, you know, living expenses.
Mm-hmm. And then what brought you eventually to the AAUW?
Oh, yes. I don't think I ever heard of it until 1979. That's the year we moved to Buffalo. And there was a woman across the street who that family had just moved to Buffalo too with her husband's job. And one time during the summer, she said, I just saw in the paper that AAUW is having an open house for anybody in the community who might be interested in coming to the meeting. And it was like the first week of September. So she said, would you like to go with me? She said, I've belonged to AAUW in the past. And it was fun, and it's a good way to meet people. So we did. We went off. It was, I think, on a Sunday afternoon. And the Buffalo AAUW is quite large. At that time, they had something like 250 members. And so they had all kinds of interest groups. We went there, and they had general information about AAUW. And then all the interest groups had somebody stationed to tell you about, what was available. And they had things like language ones. I think there was Spanish and French. There was reading, you know, book clubs. And, oh gosh, how can I forget? There were so many of them. Some people did little, like, little trips to places. And, bridge, I think there was two or three bridge groups. And, you know, this is terrible, I can't remember the name. Maybe as we go along, they'll pop back in. But anyway, I signed up right then and there and joined. And as with any group, right away, somebody says, oh, are you interested in being an officer? So, but I think they did give me a break. I think they waited about 2 months before they called. And but at that moment, I did sign up for AAUW and started going to their meetings. So they had Saturday meetings at lunch. They were all luncheons with guest speakers. And within about 2 months of showing up at the meetings, somebody called me and said, would I be interested in helping with publicizing the book sale? And in Buffalo, AAUW is known for having this gigantic book sale, and they actually work on it almost year-round. They find somebody who's willing to store books, and then they've always tried to find, either for free or very low cost, a place to hold the book sale. So, and then they push it with a few stories here and there during the year, showing people with the books, piles of books, and working on them, sorting by topics and authors and so on. And so I said, okay. And, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about it this morning because I thought, if she asked me a question about my early days in AAUW, I cannot remember the last name of this lady, but her first, forgot her first name, but maybe that'll pop in too. But anyway, she was an absolutely wonderful mentor, and she invited me to her house for lunch, and she really taught how to do publicity. I had never done anything like it in my life. I never wrote things for, you know, an article, and she just put me right to work. And those were the days when your newspapers had a lot of local publicity of organizations, what they were doing, what their meetings were about, how they raised their money, what they did with the money, and, you know, along with your usual social types of things like weddings and, you know, kids who are doing well in school. So they did. They did a lot of work. So it was easy to get your information into. Buffalo at the time had two daily newspapers. Each community had what's called a B. We lived in Clarence, so we had the Clarence B. But each community had its own B, which was a weekly paper. And then there were other little independent papers for the little towns, you know, Tonawandas and so on. So that's what we did. I learned how to write the articles and call up the social director of that newspaper and talk to them and have them put the articles in. And I was really surprised. I had not ever worked on something like that, but they were quite willing, and even get your picture in the paper if you wanted to.
So it sounds like the AAUW, and I've heard other women we've interviewed say this too, that it wasn't just, you know, the immediate reason you might join. It's a good group that's doing a charitable thing, but also it's a good place to meet friends and kind of join a social community of other educated women. And also it sounds like you're saying you learned skills from being involved in it, like promotional skills and things like that.
Yes. Yes, it was. It did all those things. You raised money for a good cause, and you met lots of people. I mean, I still am in touch with a few of the people that I knew in Buffalo. And there were, you know, so many things going on. Just in AAUW, you know, the monthly board meetings, and so there was always people around. I mean, I just knew lots of people. And and Buffalo, because of their size, raised a lot of money, especially with the book sale. And most of that money went to the national AAUW for the fellowships. Mm-hmm. But they also had a member who, by the time I came along, had already passed away. But she left a certain amount of money to be loaned to students for no interest on it. But they did have to pay them back. It was to help tide a young woman over in case during a semester she was running out of money and needed it. And you also didn't have to pay it back immediately. It, you know, as long as you paid it back, let's say 5 years after you graduated and had a job. Mm-hmm. But just so that it kept the fund at a certain level so that, you know, 10, maybe 10 young women could apply each semester to have that little extra help. And so that was something else. I didn't work on that, but there were some women who actually spent their time keeping track of that fund and working with it. Mm-hmm. And
were there any men involved in the AAUW, or was it all women?
At that time, when I first joined, it was all women. And I can't remember the year, but they decided at some point to, they voted to let men join. And I remember that a couple of husbands joined. And the one husband, he was a college professor, used to come out to most of the meetings, so that was great. Mm-hmm. And but I think many men have joined to support their wives, but they don't necessarily show up mm-hmm. at many of the meetings. But some do. Yes.
Do you remember when the ERA people were trying to get the ERA passed, and how the AAUW reacted to that during that time?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think we had a promotion. I think there was a special program to promote that, and then I think we also got busy writing letters and so on. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know what, I have to say that that was a busy time in my life, and I have forgotten about what time period was. I remember more down here in Florida where we've been promoting. There's a woman in Southern Florida who's really big on it, and I've forgotten her name right now. But two or three times she's really become very active in us trying to promote it with the Florida legislature. Mm-hmm. And we did work, you know, visiting our local legislator and writing, again, postcards, doing things at our meetings, passing out postcards for everybody to send off. And we, and I've done that two or three times since I've been here. But I don't remember back when I was in Buffalo. But I do remember that there was a good program on it.
Mm-hmm. But I guess I was wondering, maybe you can give other examples too of ways that as the political climate has changed for women and women's rights, how the AAUW or its members have kind of become more or less political. Were there other examples of that?
Yes, I'm trying to think about Buffalo. I remember there was some, because one of our members was actually the assistant to our state legislature, who was also a woman. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I wish I could remember her name. But I remember that she was very active with us, that at meetings, if there was something coming up that she thought we would be very interested in, she always brought it up and either asked us to write letters, because she said that that if you support, and I wish I could remember the name of this woman who was the New York State legislator. She said if you really want to see things get done, make sure you send her lots of stuff for her to take back to Albany with her. And so, yes, we always had this woman who all along kept us up to date on what was happening and what needed to be supported and so on. And yes, I have to say, after 16 years, I have forgotten their names. And one of the things that the Buffalo Branch used to do is it sometimes would hold meetings for the community. We did this big thing at the university. We were able to get the university to the University of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute. Was I think Buffalo State. It was Buffalo State who did it. Or maybe both. I think it was both at two different times. We had this whole with little short workshops for women on different issues, anything from what was going on in the government, mm-hmm. to things of interest to women. There was like 30 workshops, I think we had at this one. It was just a day thing. And you could sign up to three workshops over that day. Mm-hmm. And we got a good response for that. We got a lot of women out
mm-hmm.
who registered for that. And I forget, some of the local workshops were, you know, things like, even things like, oh, this is terrible, I can't remember some of them. But it went beyond the local government, because even Buffalo, the Erie County, was really quite active, you know, government-wise. I mean, for, you know, it is here too. But because of the size, and also the other thing is, when I first moved to Buffalo in 79, that is when Buffalo started making a big change. They were going from being a big industrial area with Bethlehem Steel and other steel companies were all starting to slow down and close out. Mm. And Buffalo was losing a lot of their population. Actually, for years, it isn't really truly a joke, but it was, that people would joke, well, my kid's going to college, that means that as soon as he's finished, we won't see him anymore, because mm-hmm. most of Buffalo young people moved out, going to Boston, New York City, because there were absolutely no jobs in Buffalo for young people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting time when we moved there. But now, when I visit, my son does live there. Now, when I go there, it is booming. It is totally over that 35 years. It went from, you know, being an industrial area to an area now that is still industrial between Buffalo and Niagara Falls, all along the river there.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is having a different kind of jobs, like. I know that I send my tax money for a property we own in New York State, a rural area, that goes to Buffalo, that there's a lot of medical medicine in Buffalo. They have, you know, one of the biggest cancer hospitals and other sort of children's hospitals, too. Medicine is a big thing in Buffalo.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I forgot the question.
I have a new one. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between, you talked about kind of what made Buffalo unique, what makes the Gainesville branch of the AAUW unique, and what do they focus on in this branch of the group?
I think what is a little bit different here is, because we're smaller, we tend to be maybe a little bit more personal in our friendships,
mm-hmm.
and I think we spend more time, and we also, as a group, even though I belong to a really big group, if there something happened to a member who was ill or so on, there were those who were supportive. But here it just seems to be more personal. Like,
I'm gonna pause it for just a second.
Okay, so you were
back on.
Okay, you were asking about the difference
mm-hmm.
in the two. Well, I think one of the things that I really like about this group is that I've really gotten to know most of the members quite well. I mean, we do have a few members who don't really come very often or don't come at all, but they support us financially, which is very nice. But the ladies who do come on a regular basis, I've really gotten to know quite well. And our fundraising definitely is different. We have a holiday tea in December, and we all work on it because we all have to, or else it wouldn't succeed. And the funds raised there go to National, again, for fellowships. Mm-hmm. And some, now lately, because we have this tech truck camp in Florida for young women, and so we need a little funding for that. I think we now take a certain percentage that we do use from the tech truck. But also in our May meeting, we do a little silent auction to raise funds, again, for tech truck now. And
tech truck is for younger women.
Yes, actually, tech truck is for girls who have just finished 7th grade and are headed to 8th grade. But they go away to camp for a week, and there's all different women who, you know, are either engineers or mathematicians, but they cover all the areas of technology and science, and they introduce the girls to all of these different areas, and it's we're hoping that it's a way to keep them concentrating on science, because a study was made and it showed that many young girls like that, once they hit 8th grade and especially high school, sort of steer away from the math and the engineering, physics, and so on. So far it seems to be working very well, and we read about some of the girls that we've chosen in the paper who are doing well at the science fairs and math and so on.
That's great.
So,
and is that just the Gainesville branch does tech truck, or is that statewide or nationwide?
It's nationwide for national AAUW, encouraging the states to have this, but it's the state who supports it and puts together the program.
Okay.
For the summer. It only, the first year, I think only 30 girls could go. Now we're up to 40, and they'd like to go to 60, but it's the fundraising. It costs about $1,000 per girl, and they only have to pay $50 for it. So that's what we keep doing, is fundraising so more girls can go.
That's great. So in Buffalo, you were involved in the book sale. Are there specific projects in the Gainesville branch that you've been involved in, or what has your role been in this branch?
Mainly officers, but as I said, the holiday tea, Anne, who you know, is the one who really directs the tea. She's she knows that. And she's probably the one who can really explain it to you. But we do count on Anne, because she has it organized. She brings the lovely teacups and little plates for the tea and makes it a really traditional tea. So anyway, we're all involved in that. But essentially, what I've been doing all along has been an officer, and it's sort of like we trade jobs because there's not enough of us to... we try to add more people, and I'm the membership chair this time, so we do try things to get people out. Mm-hmm. But we're finding it more and more difficult, and it's not just AAUW, but it's just groups in general, because, well, let's see, back when I was in Buffalo, I did belong. And at first it was not a problem, but later on when I went back to work full time, I was not quite as active. And nowadays, with so many women going to work right from college and staying at work, even when they have children, that there's not the same numbers of women to the word just slipped my mind, but anyway, to just get women out to our meetings is very difficult, because if you have a young woman who has a full-time job, two or three children. She's busy with taking her kids to sports or organizations or just keeping her life active. I mean, it would be really nice to have, you know, some young women, but it's our youngest woman, I think, is in her 50s, and she does work, and she does have a daughter, and she's been able, actually, her daughter is like, been coming to our meetings since she was about 18 months old, mm-hmm. but, and that tells you what, it must be very difficult. She's, mm-hmm. she is a college professor, too.
Do you think that the mission of AAUW is less relevant now because there are so many women who are getting degrees and most universities have fairly equal levels of, I don't know if most do, I shouldn't say that, like it's a fact because I don't know that, but it seems like there are a lot more women doing higher education today.
Yeah, actually the statistics are showing that there's more women in college than men.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 51-49 mm-hmm. kind of split. And, AAUW has also changed. I mean, sure, they are still doing the encouraging of education. They still have fellowships for graduate and postgraduate work. And actually, we met one of our international fellows on Saturday. She came to our meeting. She's from Korea, and very outstanding young woman, and headed to Uganda for this summer for part of her work.
Mm-hmm. So you do international fellowships as well, not just for American students?
Yes, yes, I do. And, you have to direct me back. Relevancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, because for many years now, AAUW has a legal aspect to it, and it's been supporting women, especially like in sports, Title IX, in colleges, where... the boys' wrestling team may receive all the funding, but a girls' wrestling team is lucky if they can, you know, get any kind of support, and in other sports too. It's not just, I'm just mentioning wrestling because that was one of the cases in California that we supported.
Mm.
But there's funding for that. Some of the funding goes to the legal area.
Right.
And for professors who are, what's the word for when you're in teaching so long?
Tenured?
Tenured, yes. That women who have had problems getting tenure
mm.
when their equal male fellow gets tenure years before they do, or
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of trouble. And there's been cases we've had. Some of the women speak at the state convention who have worked hard. I'm thinking of one woman who teaches at one of the universities, state universities in New York State, spoke a few years ago about how what an awful time she had getting tenure. And so there, and then they're also now working on equal pay for equal work. They helped, I can't remember her first name, but Mrs. Ledbetter,
Lilith.
They helped her financially too with her case.
Oh, wow.
So, and there's been other women too have been helped. So, and they continue with studies and so on, making different studies. They do have us, usually it has to do with the equal pay program, but when they see something that's coming up, they try to not be political. I think they try not to be too political, and what I mean by that is taking a side or supporting one party over another.
Mm-hmm.
But if they see some issue coming up that could use, they try to encourage us to write or be in touch.
So nonpartisan, but...
Yes, a nonpartisan type.
But still involved.
Yes.
Would you consider the AAUW a feminist group?
I would say yes to that, yeah. Encouraging women to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and also equal pay for equal... work. Mm-hmm. I think so. Certainly as a feminist program. And I believe with abortion that they feel that it's a woman's choice. Mm-hmm. So yes, they're definitely a woman. Feminist group.
I think those are most of my questions. Is there anything we left out that you feel is important to add to the interview?
At the moment, I can't really think of it, except I wish we had more young people in our group. Because I think that it might help them, but it would also help women in general, AAUW in general, to have the people pushing education. Mm-hmm. And in the sciences, yes, that's the other thing too, is that they've made a big program with the Tech Trek, mm-hmm. getting women to hang in there with the sciences. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think young women would benefit from it, help them. You know, especially if they had ran into a problem at work, mm-hmm. that they would find support with our group.
Great. Okay. Well, I really thank you for your time.
Oh, you have responded.